uplifting scripture, but I think you'll see what I'm talking about when we're done. From the book of Jude. Little book with a lot of stuff. That's where I got the scripture that goes with the article that's in the bulletin. I'm going to begin with verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now, evidently back then, as same as today, there was opposition to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And like I said in the bulletin, I'm not addressing what's going on in the world. The world's a world, and the world lives like the world. But what I'm looking at is what's going on in the church. Amen. Said, you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our Lord, the grace of our God, into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn the grace of God into lewdness. Now there are those around, and you know, every time the truth of the word comes out, the devil will come out with a counterfeit. And we come out and we understand that the power of grace. Grace is just not the fact that God forgave us of our sins. Grace is the power that God gave us to live. And if you have accepted the grace of God, you're going to have a heart that wants to change. You're not going to be able to say, well, I'm just going to get saved and live like I want to. If you're doing that, then you don't have the grace of God really living in you. You've made lewdness out of it. And on the other hand, if you have to work to keep what you got, you didn't get it free. So we've got to balance things out in the truth. There's a ditch on each side of the road, somebody once said. Might have been Al Gahusky. Ditch on both sides of the road, and if you get too far off, you're going to run into one or the other. Now, I want to skip from there over to verse 12. Remember what we just read? Men coming in. They are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. You know, I've been in ministry 40-some years, and I've run into a lot of preachers that look to me like the only thing they were interested in was themselves. People, you know, it don't even have to be preachers, but just people, you know, in the church. If something don't go to suit them, then they have a fit with it. You know, there's a lot of things that don't go to suit me, but it doesn't make me want to quit serving God. It doesn't make me want to get mad at somebody. It doesn't make me want to go out and criticize people. Be honest, I do things myself that I get mad at. It bothers me. But I have to forgive myself. And you know, sometimes forgiving yourself is the worst form of forgiveness. We can forgive everybody else a lot easier than we forgive ourselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, that word, that expression of blackness of darkness forever, that's really the same structure as when Jesus was teaching and he was talking about people being cast into outer darkness. That's the blackness of darkness. That's the blackness of darkness. Now, these... what I'm reading about here, this is not the world. This is what they were contending for the faith in the church. That's why it's so important that we take our stand on the Word of God. Verse 16, these are grumblers. Could be that too. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual people, persons, who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. You know, that's a sad commentary that there's many people in the church that don't have the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have life. You just have religion. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongues. Bypassing the devil. Bypassing your mind. Bypassing the world. Going straight to the throne. Straight to the Father. And I'll tell you one thing. If you'll learn to pray in the Spirit, you'll learn to listen in the Spirit. Because that's the way God's going to communicate with you. Spirit to spirit. Faith to faith. And in the book ends like this. Now to him who is able, who has the power. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Amen. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And you cannot do that last two verses unless you maintain the faith that was once for all given to the saints. And I'll tell you one thing. One of the things given to the church was not homosexuality. I don't care what society says. Homosexuality is a sin. And there's a major denomination that just ordained a gay bishop. Lost a lot of members. A lot of the members at the grassroots level found out about it too. And then there are those teachers that, well, the Bible says that, but, you know, I had a teacher, Bible teacher, Bob Reynolds may remember who I'm talking about. When I was in college and in a Bible class, when it got to the story of the parting of the Red Sea, I mean, you know, I just had been taught that it was, you know, God parted the Red Sea and they went across and the water stood up. But this college professor at a Christian college enlightened me that really that wasn't what happened, that the water had just receded and it was like just a few inches deep and they crossed it like that. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, my word. It didn't ring true. I never did believe it, but I never did forget that the person said it, and it was a she. Yeah.
All those people were drowned in inches of water.
Yes, greater miracle. That's another thing. But what I'm talking about is you're going to have to contend for the faith. Now I want you to stand up with me. We're going to pray, and then we're going to worship and praise God. But while you're standing up, you're going to have to contend for the faith. And I'm going to tell you something else. There's a lot of political stuff, and this country is headed in the direction, and it doesn't make any difference now that we switch from Democrats to Republicans. There's a lot of issues that are not, you know, something can be legal without it being moral. I mean, abortion is legal, but it's not moral. But it's forgivable. But it shouldn't be a clear option. Oh, well, you know, you can have the baby or you can have an abortion. It don't make no difference one way or the other. So much going on in the world. And if we don't stand for the faith that was once given to the saints, once and for all given to the saints, then we'll fall for the political correctness and the error and deception of the world. But we want more than that. God's expecting more out of us. He's expecting us to build up our faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, so that He can present us faultless. Now think about that. He's going to present us faultless. Do you realize what a powerful word that is? You know what a fault is? It's a weakness. It's a crack. I mean, you're like the San Andreas Fault. It's going to, one of these days, drop California into the Pacific Ocean. And then the Pacific Ring of Fire. It's faults. Geological faults. But there are moral faults and financial faults. And all of these things can have faults. But He said we'd presented faultless. Trust God enough that He'll heal the faults. And you know what? There won't be any scars left. I tell you what, I got scars all over my body. But I don't have any on my spirit. Thanks to Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what we want to worship Him for here today. Hallelujah. Father, we come before You right now. Standing before You, Lord God. Oh, thank You, Lord God, for the power that You've given us. For Your presence and Your Holy Spirit. And we thank You, Lord God, we have this opportunity to come together and to worship You and to learn of You. And to be strengthened in our most holy faith so that we can be presented faultless. Thank You for that love and grace that You've given us. Help us not to turn it into lewdness and something common, but to realize that it is the greatest gift God has given because grace came with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank You, Lord God, now as we turn our attention to You, to worship You, to praise You, to glorify You, and to be touched and inspired and lifted up by Your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen.
Great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I feel sorry for the naysayers.
Amen.
Oh, I do. I do. It's, you know, it's just like when he made the comment about the Red Sea. Well, I've done a lot of wading in my day. And if you've got 2 inches of water over the ocean, can you imagine what the bottom's going to be like?
Yeah.
Try wading across that. You just try walking across that. Anyway, that's. Oh, hallelujah. Some people. Anyway, let's go, guys.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing.
Up till every
love comes down from heaven's gate to kiss the earth with open grace. Sing,
who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty.
Lift up your hands, be lifted up. Let the redeemed declare the love. And we bow down at heaven's gate to kiss the feet of open grace. Sing,
who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Oh,
I can see your little grandson right now standing there singing that song. I just pray for him right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you know what Jennifer and her family and where they are right now and what's happening in their lives. But Lord God, I just believe that the word was sown into their hearts and their minds when they were here. And they're singing and they know about the overflow and the love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I just, as we were singing that song, my mind went back. I don't know how many, I know Laverne has, have ever been with someone in the last moments that they spent on this earth. I think Gail probably has. But when my dad left this realm, I do not like to say somebody passed away or passed on. They're not gone. When Rex left this realm, I wrote a poem, and it got published, you know, but it talked about, do not say he passed away. Do not say that. They're not passed away. They just left this realm. But that's not what I wanted to say so much. It's just it was 2011, and we had spent the night with my daddy. I had accidentally fallen asleep for 40 minutes, and that was the only sleep I got that night. And once I went to the bathroom, and the rest of the night I held his hand because I thought, I can't cross over with you, but I will walk you right to the gate. That's what I thought. I thought, my daddy will not leave this world without an escort. You know, I don't want him to be alone when he crosses over. But that was when he did cross over, I think it changed the person that I was and made me the person that I am, because as he lay there, you know, science explains it all away. They explain everything away. They explain it away that angels came, and my daddy said, well, there's some angels. They explain that away, and they explain it away that he saw my mother, and he saw my brother, and he saw his mother, and he was saying, yes, mama. They want to explain that away, but if they had been there, they would have been like my brother, the one that had an aneurysm not long after that, who jumped up, who had never been a real true believer, who jumped up and shouted as my dad left this world, anybody who says there's not a God is an idiot. That's what my brother said. My brother with no education, but he knew the presence of God when he felt it. And the reason what I want to tell you is that what Laverne was just now praying over her, even over her daughter. You want to know what's really important in this life? It's my dad. In that moment, I realized something. He took nothing with him of this world. Not even the clothes on his back could go with him. I mean, he left, even his body couldn't go. But I was there when he sat up and his eyes lit up and he smiled really big, because whatever he saw on that other side was so much greater than what he saw here that he could no longer stay in that in his body, because, you know, cancer had already taken its toll, and whatever he saw was greater than what is here. But as he was fading from this world and seeing that one, he was coming in and out. Half the time he was talking about what he was seeing, and half the time he was talking to us. But he was saying, in both realms, and I'm going to call them realms or dimensions, he was saying, he would fade out and say, there's the angels, and talk to his mama, and then he would fade back in, and he would look at us, and he would want us to bend down, and we would bend down, and he would say, love God, love God, love God. And then the other thing he would say, love each other, love each other. You want to know what life is all about? That's it. That is it. Love God and love each other. Anything not of love is useless. I don't care if it's political. I don't care if it's educational. I don't care how wealthy you become or how famous you are. If it is not of love, it is useless. The Bible says God is love. Now, if you know anything at all about English, you know that the word is a being verb. That means it's an equal sign. You can flip it around and say, love is God. God is love. Love is God. If it's not love, it's not God. If it's not love, it's useless. So whatever you do, let your motivation be love, because whatever is not of love is useless. Paul talked about whatever is not of faith is sin. Get this. Faith works by love. Without love, faith is useless. So love is it. What is that? 1 John 4:7-8. Love, 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 love. The gospel in a word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. For God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Anyway, that's what I live for. Radical love, radical love. That forgives and sees the best. And when someone comes to you and tells you something bad that Ricardo did, you say, I love him. And they're going to go, what?
Yeah.
You condone everything he did? You know, God never called me to judge. God never called me to legislate morality. He called me to love. And if it's not love, I don't want any part of it.
I believe that scripture verse, and some of you know it. Miss Phyllis will know it, and Sherry will know it, and Miriam. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth not. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. That was a long time, yeah.
I have a testimony. My stepmother went in Friday to have a brain tumor removed. Before she went in, I got a chance to say goodbye before she went back. When we came out, her doctor was Dr. El Collini. I found out in the waiting room he was the number one neurologist in the nation. Her surgery took 3 hours less than I thought it was going to. Miss Martha was praying over Wednesday night for my stepmother, and one of the things she prayed was that God would handpick every person that was going to be in that surgery. And we come to find out he was the number one neurologist in the nation, so we know that's not an accident. She's doing phenomenal. They had to take a little bit of her brain, but she has all of her mobility skills. Her memory is perfect. So I just want to praise God and give God the glory.
Hallelujah. You know, Miss Darlene said something just a moment ago about a person having an aneurysm. I have a first cousin that had an aneurysm. And when he come to where he could talk, first thing he told us was that, y'all, I seen Jesus, and I didn't want to come back here. And he'll tell you that to this day. He said he saw Jesus, and he said, he looked at me, he said, Cotto, it was so peaceful. He said, it was so peaceful. He said, I didn't want to come back. I didn't want to come back here. And I told the Lord I didn't want to come back. He said, but you got to go back. He said, I don't want to go. That's awesome. That's an awesome thing to be able to tell that to somebody. But if people can cast out demons and we believe these things, I know I do, why can't there be angels? Why can't the good Lord use angels to usher us to do what we need to do? Why can't we get that little tug in our heart to saying, whoa, that's wrong. You don't need to do that.
Right.
Amen? Well, why can't we get that tug in our heart and say, you need to pray for that person? Because God does that. He speaks, and sometimes we just don't pay attention to the wording. We don't pay attention to when these things happen. But I tell you what, he's an awesome God. He may not come when you want him, but he'll always be on time. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. He sure will. He'll always be on time. Here we go. Here I am, all I can offer, bowing down, you have my worship. Here I come, here I run, I need you. Like a child needing a father, without you I'm empty and broken. Here I come, here I run, I need you. So I'm running to you, into the shelter of the Most High. There I know I'm safe as I'm running to you. And I won't pretend to be sufficient. I know how bad I need you. I'm running. Here I am, reaching my hands out. Hear my heart, I pour it all out. Here I come, here I run, I need you. Light my path, lead me, I'll follow. My shield, my strength for tomorrow. Here I come, here I run, I need you. So I'm running to you, into the shelter of the Most High. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to bless each and every individual that gives here today, to open up your windows of heaven and pour out the blessings on them, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
I know I'm safe if I'm running.
I won't pretend to be sufficient. I know how bad I need you. I'm running. Here I am, reaching my hand out. Hear my heart, I pour it all out. Here I come, here I run. I need you. Light my path, lead me, I'll follow. Be my shield, my strength for tomorrow. Here I come, here I run. I need you. So I'm running to you, into the shelter of the Most High. There I know I'm safe. This running to you, and I won't pretend to be sufficient. I know how bad I need you. I'm running to you, and I won't pretend to be. Know how bad I need you. I'm running. I won't pretend to be sufficient. I know how bad I need you. I'm running,
running to you.
Sing the song Redeemed, and I may say this every time we do this, but it touches my heart, because you know, a lot of people think that you've got to get out there and have done a lot of bad things in order to feel like you're unworthy. But no, you know, when you're brought up in an atmosphere that you're saved, but you got to keep doing good and keep doing good and keep doing good and keep doing good, and that's the way I was all my life. I wanted to do good. I wanted my Father's approval. I didn't know I already had it. So, you know, you can live in an environment of feeling unworthy, and you're not worthy, you know, for God to meet your needs. You're not worthy for God to heal you, because, you know, you really had a bad attitude yesterday, and, you know, you didn't get repentance. You didn't repent for that. And so, you know, it's just a cycle, a vicious cycle, that he wants you to feel like that God doesn't love you. And I'm understanding every day, that I've got to believe that God loves me. I mean, God loves me. Because if I know God loves me, I can love you. Because if you find somebody that has difficulty loving people, they don't understand the love of God. When you experience the love of God, you're able to love people. You know, and I'm going to tell this on Pastor. He had a rough day the other day. I mean, he was just, you know, I call him just kind of emotional and up and down and feeling kind of, you know, and I kept saying, you know, I'm going in there and checking on him and all this kind of stuff. And I just knew there's something wrong. And he was sitting around thinking that, you know, the devil was kind of whispering in his ear that because he couldn't do like he used to do, that, you know, did God love him? Now, he's talking to him because he was sharing something that God spoke to his heart. And when he said that to him, and I said, oh, grace man. See, it can hit you at any time that the devil can try to come in. And I call him grace man because he ministers on grace. But, you know, he's always, you know, teaching. I said, and here the enemy was coming to him at a very vulnerable time in his life, telling him, you know, that God didn't love you like he used to because he couldn't do for him like he used to. But you know what he said happened? He heard a voice on the inside of him say, but I love you regardless of what you can do. But you see, and sometimes you may wonder why, you know, maybe we don't have as many speakers in this church. But it's so easy for the devil to sow a seed into your life that God doesn't love you or that you've got to do something to gain his favor. And if, you know, if all we ever have is the Coulters and the Childs and all those people that we trust, that we know when you leave here, you're going to know how much God loves you. Because when you know how much God loves you, you're going to start changing on the inside. And when you change on the inside, all that behavior that's bad begins to change. Because you've got something on the inside that's working on the outside. Now, this is probably sermon number 3 today. But I have to tell you that I experienced redemption. Amen. All right. I know you've all been there. Praise God for redemption. Seems like all I can see was the struggle. Shame and regret.
shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be.
I am redeemed. You set me free.
So I'll shake all these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. Mercy, his child and forever.
Well, they knew something, didn't they?
Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever. Proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy.
Come on, say it.
His child and forever I am.
Come on,
redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Child and forever I am.
She learned to play it. Amen.